When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Listening Time Podcast. Hey everybody, this is Connor, and you're listening to episode 134 of the Listening Time Podcast. Thank you all for listening. I hope your English learning is going great. I hope that you're motivated and that you're ready to listen to another episode. We're going to talk about an interesting topic in today's episode. We're going to talk about names. I really like this topic. I like discussing names and naming customs and traditions, especially with people from other countries, because it's interesting to see the differences between how parents give names in the US and how parents in other countries think about naming their kids, and just the structure of the name itself. In some countries, people have more names in total, and in other countries, there are fewer names. So these differences are really fascinating to me. I like this topic, so I want to talk about this one today, and I'll talk about some of the customs in the US when it comes to names, and I'll talk about my thoughts, my opinions regarding certain customs and things like that. So this should be interesting. Before we start, remember that if you feel ready to practice with real conversations so that you can start to understand native speakers when they speak to each other fast, then make sure to sign up for my US Conversations podcast. This will be a great tool for you. I talk to people from all over the country and we talk naturally, so you get practice with real conversations. So click on the link in the episode description below this episode to sign up. That's patreon.com/US Conversations. And if you want my advanced episodes where I speak at normal speed, then make sure to become a Listening Time family member. You can join my membership. The link is also down below. That's patreon.com/listeningtime. And if you like this podcast, I'd appreciate it if you could share it with anyone else you know who's learning English. And please give it a 5-star rating and write a review as well. All right, let's get started. Are your ears ready? You know what time it is. It's listening time. Okay, let's talk about names. Let me talk a little bit about some of the naming customs that we have in the US. Let me talk about the first name. So everyone has a first name here, of course, and this really is the important name. This is the name that people are going to call you for the rest of your life, usually. There are some exceptions, but usually your first name is the name that people use to identify you in general. But in the past, it wasn't like that. In the past, it was actually really informal to call someone by their first name. By the way, we use the phrase call someone by when we talk about the name that people use to refer to another person. So in the past, it was really informal and sometimes impolite to call people by their first name if you didn't know them well. So the first name was a more intimate name that you would use with people in your family or people that you had that confidence with. And you would usually refer to other people just by using their last name. But that was a long time ago. And nowadays in the US, people use other people's first name when referring to them. So this is the important name, as I mentioned, that all parents pay a lot of attention to, because it's the name that is really gonna affect their child a lot throughout their life. So that's the first name. And then we have middle names, usually. I think most people in the US have a middle name. So this name is not nearly as important as the first name. Really, you don't even need a middle name. It's not necessary. You can just have a first and a last name. However, most people have middle names. That's the custom in the US. You give your child a first name and a middle name. And you can choose any name that you want for the middle name. It doesn't come from a father or a mother. It can, but it doesn't need to be like that. You can choose any name that you want. So this isn't that important. And usually throughout people's lives, most people don't really get called by their middle name unless they choose that. Sometimes someone doesn't like their first name and they prefer to use their middle name. That happens sometimes. But in all other cases, the middle name is not that important. The time when you hear this the most is when a parent is angry at their child, and then they use the child's first and middle name to refer to them. That's when you hear this name the most, probably. But besides that situation, there aren't many other situations in which people use their middle name. It's very common for people to not know the middle name of their friends, for example, because we don't really pay much attention to the middle name. However, parents in the US like middle names. They like to think of this name and come up with different ideas. Parents still like this, even though the middle name isn't as important. So that's the middle name. And then there's the last name, or in some places, they might refer to this as the surname. But most people in the US usually say last name. Before we continue, let me tell you about our sponsor, HelloFresh. You can use HelloFresh to get farm-fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Skip the grocery store and instead use HelloFresh to make your home cooking fun, easy, and affordable. Whether your New Year's resolution is to save money, eat healthier, or be less stressed, HelloFresh can help you do all of these. Say hello to your most delicious year yet with fresh ingredients and creative recipes at a great price delivered right to your door. And HelloFresh saves you time and energy by providing you with quick, convenient recipes to choose from. Just pick which meals you want and select your delivery date. HelloFresh handles the shopping and meal prep, so all you need to do is open your weekly box of pre-portioned ingredients and step-by-step recipes and start cooking. One thing that my family appreciates about HelloFresh is the variety of delicious recipes that it offers. Since there are over 45 different dinner options to choose from, it feels like there's always something new to try. HelloFresh obviously makes things easier, but it also keeps mealtime exciting. You can see why HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit. Go to HelloFresh.com/listeningfree and use code LISTENINGFREE for free breakfast for life. One breakfast item per box while subscription is active. That's free breakfast for life at HelloFresh.com/listeningfree with code LISTENINGFREE. So your last name is the one that you don't choose. So parents don't choose a different last name for their kid. They just pass down their last name to their child. So the father in particular is the one who passes on his last name, and his children take his last name. That's the tradition in the US. And when two people get married, the wife usually takes the husband's last name. So her last name changes and becomes the husband's last name. And her original last name now becomes her maiden name. The maiden name is the name that you used to have, your old last name before you were married. But when you get married, your husband's last name becomes your last name, if you decide to do that. You don't have to. Not everyone follows this tradition. However, the general tradition is for the wife to take her husband's last name. So that's the construction of the first, middle, and last name. We have three names in total, one first name, one middle name, and one last name. I specify this because in other countries, there might be two last names, for example. But in the US, it's just one. So usually we have three names in total. And how about choosing a name for your kid? How do parents in the US choose what to name their child? Well, there are different ways that people can consider this. So one of the most traditional ways that people name their child, especially their first child, and especially their first son, is that they might choose to name their first son after the father. So when we say that you name someone after someone else, we're saying that you give them this name because of that other person who has that name. So the firstborn son can sometimes have the same name as his father. That's been done throughout history for many, many years. That's a really common practice. And in the US, when that happens, the son receives the suffix junior at the end of their name. A suffix is something that comes at the end of a word. So if the father's name is John and the son's name is John, the son would be John Jr. or John plus his last name plus Jr. And maybe the grandfather also has the same name. If that's the case, then the grandfather is John, and then the father is John Jr., and then the son is John the Third. So you get the point there. There's this suffix if you have the same last name as your father, or your father and grandfather. And in the US, it's not as common to name a daughter after her mother. I don't really know anyone that has done this. I'm sure some people do it, but it's not nearly as common, I think. And I've seen this in other countries where that is sometimes done, but not so much in the US. And if parents don't name their kid after the father, they might name their kid after someone else, maybe a grandfather, an uncle, or someone else who is important in their lives or was important. So that's another thing or they might also give their child a middle name that comes from an important person. So they can do that for both the first name and the middle name. And another common tradition is to give your children biblical names, names that come from the Bible, either the Old Testament or the New Testament. People usually try to choose these names wisely. They don't want to pick a really bad person from the Bible. They usually want to choose someone who is more loved or admired in the Bible, not a really bad person, obviously. And that's really common. A lot of people have biblical names in the U.S. and in other countries as well. And another way that parents might choose their kid's name is by choosing a name that sounds good. Sometimes that's the only criteria. They just want a name that sounds good, that they like. So some parents just choose their kid's first and middle name based on the fact that it sounds nice. So that's another option. And some parents purposely try to give their kid a name that isn't common. A lot of people in the U.S. nowadays like to give their kids unique names. That's something that's very common in the U.S. Now. Maybe not so much in the past, but now that's become really common. You hear some really interesting names in the U.S., that's for sure. And sometimes the parents can even invent new names that don't even exist just because they sound interesting or unique, or they might choose an interesting spelling of a certain name. So that's something that's interesting about English, is that names can be spelled differently. Like my name is usually not spelled with an ER at the end. Most people that have my name have an OR at the end. And sometimes they only have one N. So there are three different spellings of my name, and I have the least common one, I think. So that's kind of interesting about English names, is that the spelling can be different and parents can choose what spelling they want. So that's another thing to consider. So that's a little bit about naming customs in the U.S. How about in Mexico? Because I lived in Mexico for many years, and I want to talk a little bit about that and compare the differences here. So in Mexico, people have a first and a middle name, just like in the U.S. Really nothing too different there. However, there are two last names. So everyone has a last name that comes from their father and one that comes from their mother. So they take their father's first last name, and that becomes their first last name. And then they take their mother's first last name, and then that becomes their second last name. So pretty interesting, very different from the U.S. And what happens is that children have different last names from their parents, and the husband and the wife have different last names because it's always a mixture of your father's and your mother's last name, and the wife doesn't change her last name when she gets married. So it's really different because everyone has different last names and they have two of them. Whereas in the U.S., in general, the whole family has the same last name and it's just one. So that's very different, of course. And I think that there isn't quite the same variety in names in Mexico as there is in the U.S. So in the U.S., there are many, many, many different names, whereas in Mexico, there are many names. However, you hear the same names a lot. You hear names repeated all the time, and you don't hear as many creative names. People don't tend to choose really strange names in Mexico. Sometimes they do, and that's okay. But in the U.S., people choose strange names a lot more often nowadays. You hear a lot of names that you might never have heard before. So that's a little bit different. And the spelling is also different because in Spanish, you can't just change the spelling of names the same way you can in English. There are a few names that have multiple spellings, I think. But in general, there's usually just one spelling for most names. So that also limits the variety a little bit. And how do people choose their children's names in Mexico? Well, of course, there's still the tradition of naming your son, usually your firstborn son, after you. That's still something that is done. And I actually know girls who were named after their mother. So I don't know how common that is, but the fact that I know some girls that have their mother's first name probably means it's more common than it is in the U.S., because I don't know any girl in the U.S. that has her mother's first name. So that might be something that's a little more common in Mexico, but I don't know for sure. And then, of course, biblical names are really common. There are a lot of biblical names that are really, really common, really popular in Mexico. And like I said, the names might not be as varied or as creative, I guess you could say, as some of the names that the younger generations in the U.S. are naming their kids. However, there is one exception to that that I've noticed. In Mexico, there are a lot of indigenous people, of course, and the indigenous languages are still present, and in particular, the language Nahuatl still has an impact on Mexico, because there are many things that have a name from this language, and some people have names from this language as well. For some parents, this can be an interesting option to choose one of the indigenous names and give that name to their child. So I've met some people that have indigenous names, and they look very unique, very different from many of the other Spanish names. So that's something a little bit different, a little bit unique as well. And lastly, let me just talk about some of my issues with names, because I've had many problems throughout the years. First of all, my last name is only two letters because I'm part Chinese, actually, and I have a Chinese last name that's only two letters, and people are always really confused when they see it, because it doesn't look like a last name that someone would have here. So that's always been an issue for me. And it was a huge issue in Mexico too, because number one, I only have one last name, and that causes some issues in Mexico. And number two, it's a really strange last name for someone who looks like me. And so when I would open accounts, like a bank account, for example, sometimes there would be a problem because I only had one last name and they needed to input two last names. Or I remember that in another instance, they wanted my last name so that I could sign up for something. But in their system, it showed that there was an error because the last name was only two letters and that it wasn't valid. So they had to put a fake last name for me because a two-letter last name wasn't valid in their system. So I've had those problems in Mexico as well. And then lastly, with my own family. So my wife doesn't have my last name because she wasn't a resident here in the U.S. when we got married. And in Mexico, the wife doesn't take the husband's last name. So she doesn't have my last name, which can be confusing in the U.S. because people might assume that we have the same last name. And that's what we would have had if she were from here. But because of the circumstances, it didn't work out like that. And then my son, because he was born in Mexico, has two last names. He had to have two last names when he was born. My last name and my wife's first last name. And now that he's in the U.S., he still has these two last names, which is not customary in the U.S. So that's also strange because we all have different last names and my wife and my son have two last names here and my future children will only have my last name. So they will have a different last name than my son. So it's a mess, as you can see. We've had a lot of interesting issues with names in my family. Okay, I think that's it for today. I hope this episode was interesting for you. And if you want my help to understand native speakers when they speak fast, then make sure to join my membership and you'll get my specialized training. And if you become a Listening Time family member, you'll also get my advanced episodes where I speak fast. And you can also sign up for my U.S. Conversations podcast, where I speak with people from around the country about different topics, and you can practice with these real conversations. It's challenging, but it's necessary to practice like this if you want to be able to understand native speakers when they speak to each other. So the link to sign up is also down below. That's patreon.com/USConversations. And if you like this podcast, please share it, give it a 5-star rating, and write a review. All right. Thank you for listening to this episode, and I'll talk to you on the next episode of Listening Time. Before we continue, let me tell you about our sponsor, Rosetta Stone. As you all know, learning a language is challenging. Well, Rosetta Stone is a great tool that can help you with this challenge so you can improve your English or learn any of the other 25 languages that it offers. Rosetta Stone has helped millions of people learn foreign languages over the last 30 years. The idea behind Rosetta Stone is to provide you with a more natural and intuitive language learning method compared to other types of courses. Instead of focusing on tests, drills, or boring memorization, Rosetta Stone helps you develop your language skills naturally, using interesting stories, dialogues, and visuals. In this way, you'll learn the language a little more like a child learns their first language, not just by memorizing things, but through engaging exposure to the language. Rosetta Stone is also convenient to use because of the flexibility of its lessons. They're full of helpful content, but they're also pretty short, and you can do them whenever you have the time. This will help you work them into your schedule more easily. And one other cool feature that Rosetta Stone has is its speech recognition tool called True Accent. it can detect the differences between your pronunciation and a native speaker's pronunciation, so it can give you feedback on how you're pronouncing words and help you improve. As you can see, Rosetta Stone is a language learning tool with a ton of value. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Listening Time listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/listeningtime today.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
En Sherwin-Williams somos tu compa, tu pana, tu socio, pero sobre todo somos tu aliado. Con más de 6,000 representantes para atenderte en tu idioma y beneficios para contratistas que encontrarás en aliadopro.com. En Sherwin-Williams somos el aliado del pro.